Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The executive editor for the West Coast at CNET News. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
I've been fascinated by a story here, Ian. Can I just share with you a little bit about what I'm reading?
Sure.
An artificial intelligence system being developed at Facebook has created its own language. The observations made at Facebook are the latest in a long line of similar cases. In each instance...
Can I interrupt you, John?
Sure.
And Ian, I apologize. Nice to talk to you. This is a story that you've been following a lot and will certainly in the future. A Cook County judge has just cleared the way for the sweetened beverage tax to take effect.
So when does that then happen?
The county has set a start date. I don't know. We don't have a start date yet, but they threw out the lawsuit just now that had been challenging the tax.
Sure, on constitutional grounds, as I recall.
There was something about being vague and all of that, too. So, sorry, man.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. Back to this article. The observations made at Facebook are the latest in a long line of similar cases. In each instance, an AI, artificial intelligence, being monitored by humans, has diverged from its training in English to develop its own language. The resulting phrases appear to be nonsensical gibberish to humans, but they convey meaning to AI agents. And then they describe one piece of language where one computer named Bob is talking to another computer named Alice. And Bob says, "I can, I, everything else." Alice responds, "Balls have zero, to me, me." And they have sort of interpreted it to mean, "I'll have three of these things and you can have everything else." So they were sort of negotiating something, these two robot artificial intelligence computers. That's fascinating. I'm kind of lost here, Ian. Can you shed a little light on this?
Yeah, first off, your impersonation of the computers was missing the Austrian accent of a Terminator, so I just wanted to
actually
criticize that a little bit.
When I do computer voices, I always go to HAL from 2001.
Oh, okay, all
I'm
right.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
So first off, I do want to put a little bit at ease everyone who's wondering whether the computers are going to take over and we're all going to die. Right now, that's not exactly where we're leading. What Facebook has been doing is that they've been building artificial intelligence. By the way, Google, Apple, Amazon, everyone's trying to do this. And part of the reason that they're doing this is that if they can build a computer that can respond to your every need and want and desire, then A, you're going to give them a lot of money, but B, they're going to have cracked a code that's going to make it a lot easier for them to do all sorts of the stuff they're trying to do. You know, when Apple, when they're trying to make the phone the center of your life, when Amazon is trying to get you to buy more stuff, right, when Facebook's trying to get you to communicate more and look at more ads, all of these things make sense. And with Facebook, what's interesting is that they try to teach what this specific program that they were talking about was a negotiation program. So it was trying to help people, you know, imagine like State Farm, right, or any insurance company creates an application that, you know, you go to Facebook and you say, "I want insurance," and you start negotiating with them. It actually happens with a computer, right? You're talking to a computer, not a real person. And so what's interesting is that it created its own language, as you pointed out, using, you know, English words that make no sense. And Facebook has continuously each time shut it down. And they shared this because they wanted to talk a little bit about how weird it is that AI is doing this, right? Computers obviously have their own way of talking that we've trained them for, but that they're coming up with their own language is interesting. But also, the reason that Facebook keeps shutting it down is not because they're scared, but because they want to teach these computers to learn English, even if it's a less kind of, you know, less helpful language for them. Like, the reason that these computers are coming up with something else is that it's easy for them, right? It makes life easier. They're speaking in a language they understand.
Or is more efficient, maybe. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so by being less efficient in their eyes and having to learn English, they're actually going to, Facebook believes they're going to actually going to not only be able to respond to you better, but they'll be able to handle more things thrown at them, right? If we start, you know, expanding into Swahili or in Chinese or whatever, then it will be able to be more capable, right? And by the way, this is what we think of children too, right? If you teach them more than one language, they'll be smarter. All of these types of things are very logical, but that's why this story is very interesting. As we see Facebook treating its computers in a way that I don't know. I don't think we would have had this conversation a decade ago.
All right, but then are you really saying, okay, so suppose I call State Farm and I say, hey, I want, Allstate's offering me a $100 premium. Can you do better than that? And
yeah.
Would this be a verbal conversation I would be having with a robot?
Well, this is all very hypothetical,
sure.
Right? Right now, it's over text, right? That you would
even then,
you know, we all have. We're all used to doing text messages over our phones.
Yeah.
And but in the future, you can imagine. I mean, already, I have, you know, whenever I call up the airlines because, you know, I need to change my flight, I'm having half my conversation with a robot before I speak to a real person.
Yeah, but I don't
and
like
I
that.
Know,
I don't like
right,
that.
And I don't like it either, right? But that's because I know it's not a person. And what they're trying to do is get to that point where you don't know the difference. And it's able to do the same things as a person does, and it doesn't matter. Right?
And
those days are coming. That's going to happen.
Okay, and if I don't know that, I guess that's okay. But I'll tell you, here's a trick they do, and it bugs me. I'll be on the phone to, who is it? Is it the phone company, the cable company, somebody that I'm on the phone with, and I'm in an automated system, and I know that. And so I'll hit button 3, or I'll give the last 4 numbers of my Social Security number, and then she'll say, hold on while I look that up. And then they play the sound effect of somebody hitting a keyboard. She'll say, hold on. And then you hear this, like Lois is on the other phone. And I go, no, this is a sound effect of somebody hitting a keyboard. And it doesn't make me happy.
No, I agree with you. And the stuff that's ahead that people are trying to push the limits, as you will, that's not cool. And look, I mean, I love there's an ad that was on television a few years ago where someone hit that number and they said, I'm a real person. I'm trying to help you.
Oh, yeah, right.
So,
you can't believe
you know,
it.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it is a problem, but this stuff is going to get better. And eventually you're not going to be able to tell the difference, which is why it's very interesting inside the tech industry. There's a lot of debate about whether or not how we should be handling this. You know Elon Musk, right, the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX. He has actually been lobbying governors and state legislatures to write laws and regulations today about artificial intelligence and what can be used for. And that's really fascinating because he's kind of whipping up a lot of fear. And, you know, he said stuff like, here's a quote from him, that AI is the biggest risk we face as a civilization, which is, I mean, that's not underselling it. And what's interesting is that, you know, he uses artificial intelligence as well, right? That obviously what controls those Tesla cars on autopilot is artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that we have this debate going on.
I have a question for you about that. I have a question about that, and I know I'm going to sound like a coal miner here. But do we really want robots doing the work that those human beings are doing? I would prefer that the caller be down. If I'm calling my cable company or my phone company, or my insurance company, I prefer that I'm talking to a human. I don't actually mind if they're in India, as long as their English is good and they seem like swell people and they can resolve my issue. What do I care where they're sitting? But I would prefer that I have access to a human being. So what's going to happen to all of the human beings in a minute? On WGN. A couple of calls and a guest. His name is Ian Scher. He is, is it Scher or is it Sure? I believe it is Sure. Let's go to the source.
SH.
Say it again, Ian.
It's her with an SH. It's Sure.
Sure. I appreciate you joining us. He's the executive editor for West Coast at CNET News. You hear him sometimes with Bill and Wendy, sometimes with our own Steve Bertrand. And so I just posed the question to you about these bots replacing human beings who would otherwise do some of the things they're learning to do. What's your take about that?
You know, I think that this is one of the questions of our time is that, you know, unlike when we were moving beyond the Industrial Revolution and we were starting to ask the question of what happens to all these people who were in factories and no longer have jobs, Artificial intelligence does have the possibility of taking over a lot of the jobs that we have, and it is a real question. What do we do with all these people who may not have jobs? You know, there's estimates within the tech industry and experts out there who say that within 20 years, I think it is, up to half the jobs are going to disappear because of artificial intelligence. And let me point out that the Great Depression was 25% unemployment. The Great Recession was something like 10% unemployment at its worst. So even if they're half wrong, we're at the Great Depression.
But is it possible that
it's a big question?
Well, but maybe those. So we won't have those jobs. We'll have different jobs. We'll have code writing jobs or something like that.
Well, we might be, right? But there's also a possibility, and by the way, this is why you see some people starting to talk about this, that our culture needs to move beyond the idea of work, and that stuff like universal basic income, which is being tested now in Europe, where you are just given a basic income, whether or not whatever you do, that those things are now being talked about within Silicon Valley, because people like Mark Zuckerberg, for example, realize that the work that he is doing is going to put a lot of people out of jobs, and faster maybe than we can replace them. And that's a big question. We don't want to have a bunch of people unemployed and on the streets, right? And so how do we make the world work when our entire American culture is built around the idea that you have a job, you go to that job every day, you earn a living, right? And if you can't do that, then what do you do?
I want to ask you a different question. I got just a minute left, and I want to get to a phone call too. Actually, let's take the phone call first, then I wanted to just ask you another tech question off this topic. We'll put you there, and we'll go on line 1, 2. Is it Allie? This is John. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How are you? Great program. Love it. Listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
You know what? Sometimes when I feel like I don't know if I'm talking to a robot, I'll say to them, I'll say, "Are you a cat?" Or what is 10 plus 10 divided by 2? And it just goes blank, nothing. So then I hang up.
Or it says 10.
Well, you know what?
10 plus 10 is 20, divided by 2 is 10, yeah. Are you okay? But what if they go, "No, my name is Paul. How are you?" I guess that would pop the bubble anyway.
Yeah.
But you know that frustration where you're talking. I don't even like, here's how, what a Neanderthal I am. I don't love, when it says press or say 2, I always press 2. I hate to talk to those machines.
Yeah, I do too.
It's horrid.
I sometimes say bad things to them. All right. Thanks for the phone call, Allie. Have a good day. Well, there's a little trick to at least decide. Hey, Twitter reports $116 million loss. 1 in 5 Americans use Twitter. And tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people around the world do it. It's about 300 million overall. How does is Twitter profitable, to your knowledge,
no.
Ian?
No, it's not profitable at all. That's the number one problem. It's one of the most important parts of politics and of our culture, and it cannot, and they just haven't been able to figure out how to make it a good business.
It had revenue of $573 million, and they don't have overhead like steel or
no.
How is it that they can't be profitable?
Well, I mean, look, they do have employees and, writing code and doing things like managing different people who are on Twitter and helping them use it. You know, when the Pope joined Twitter, there was a team who helped him do that, taught him how to use it. All those people, they have salaries, right? So it's not as if Twitter doesn't have people that they need to pay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What the real problem is that they just haven't been able to convince the advertising industry, which is what they rely upon for their money, to that they are worth it, right? And even though you've got like everyone on every tweet that Donald Trump says, you're just watching every single one of them, for some reason, even though they can put an ad right there, they haven't been able to convince Wall Street and convince the advertising industry that it's worth it. And that is a fascinating problem. And the other problem they have, by the way, is that they're not growing, right? They're at 328 million odd users every month who are using it. That's it. Right? Facebook is more than 2 billion. They are more than half the world's online populations using Facebook. A fraction of that is using Twitter. Now, those people are important. Obviously, people are watching what, again, President Trump says all the time. But it's a fascinating situation that they're in. And I don't know how they're going to get out of it. And no one seems to have an answer.
What a pleasure to visit with you, Ian. Let's visit again. I'll listen for you when you visit with Bill and Wendy and Steve Bertrand, too.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.